Well, we're in a series called a makeover, and I've been thinking like it's really a Holy Spirit makeover from the inside out. We've been talking about a lot of words. So today, my word is on number four is it's kind of repeat. I guess that's what we say, repeating, and then remaining. That's the focus today. So I was thinking about that. In our world, why is it so difficult to repeat something sometimes? I think, let's say in football, I think Kansas City's won the Super Bowl 2 years. This may be the hardest year for them because they call it a three-peat, right? That's very difficult to do. So I've been thinking about that, and I go, because a lot of times when we achieve something, we can get kind of complacent, and we quit doing what got us here. And I know people say, what got you here won't keep you here. No, you got to continue. But when I was really thinking about it more deeply, here's what I came up with. The reason I think it's difficult to remain and to repeat sometimes is because the biggest deterrent that I know is getting started. You know what I'm saying? We don't get started. How can you repeat something? How can you remain something you haven't started and something you haven't started? So we want to talk about that today from God's Word. Looking deep into our hearts through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I want you to hear. I'll say it a couple of times. This is conditional only upon our unconditional surrender. God wants to do a makeover in us from the inside out, but what's required is our surrender. We call it going palms up around here. The admonition, when I think about repeating and remaining in Christ, I was reminded of 1 John 3:18. I've always loved this little verse. It says, dear children, that's family language, that's us. Let us not love with words or speech, you know, because we're good at that. We know it. We can say it. We can say this or that. But it goes on to say, let's not love that way, but let's love this way, parenthetically. Let's love with actions and in truth. That's how you remain. That's how you repeat the first things. A question for you. Have you taken time recently to think deeply about things that you can do or you do to engage and grow spiritually? I mean, many of us in this room today and within the sound of my voice, we've done some of these things consistently and repeatedly over times. And if we're honest today, we would think that was probably the highlight of my spiritual life and time. I mean, that season, even in a difficult season, that produced great spiritual growth. And that was a time, Pastor, when maybe my faith was growing the most. I was actually thriving spiritually. Can you think of a season, a time like that in your life? And if you can, I want to ask you this. What happened? Are you still there? Not saying you aren't. I'm just asking. Because the ever-bending road of life happens, as I like to say. And sometimes we start pushing aside the very things that caused us to be spiritually alive. I don't think it's an intentional decision once upon a time. We just begin to get careless. Over time, I would say that we begin to neglect the things that were drawing us closer and closer to God. That's so common. And it goes on until we end up not doing the things that we need to do to grow, and we're doing many things that hinder that growth. We talked about the prodigal son in the last couple of weeks, and maybe you've had that aha moment when you awakened one day where you'll come to your senses and think, how in the world did I get here from where I once was? I think that's what the prodigal son, he had that moment. I heard a testimony recently about that. It was so touching, and it's having a wonderful conclusion. But they said in my life, I messed up, and I never would have dreamed that I could get as low as I got. But how many of you know the long arm of the Lord, not the law, but the love of the Lord, reached him where he was? Here's the result of choices to neglect the things that produce spiritual growth. And I just want to go through a quick list. Whenever I do a list, some of you go, oh, that's good because, you know, your thing isn't on it. This is not an exhaustive list. It's just a list that you can. And so I'm gonna look today for a little while at the fruit of the Spirit, and I want you to compare these two lists. In fact, how you do it is you just read that verse, and I'll jump ahead to Galatians 5:22 and 3. Here it is. From God's perspective, But the fruit of the Spirit is, a lot of you maybe have this in memory, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. There still isn't any law against these things. Agreed? There may be, but there's not yet. So I want you to think about this, and I jotted down some things in the margin. So as I go through these words, I'm thinking of the exact opposite, because some of us are somewhere between the two. What's our culture producing when we move away from that first love? Love, unloving. Joy, sorrow, depression. Peace, worry, anxiety. Long-suffering, impatience. You know, the horn ministry. Kindness. Rudeness. God's goodness. Sinfulness. I spell that double L. Faithfulness. Unfaithfulness. Gentleness. Harshness. Self-control. Self-indulgent. Do you see the difference between the two? God's characteristics, and I call it, let's call it today, we're calling the fruits of the Spirit, let's call it, I just read the second list, the fruits of the flesh. What our flesh produces if we move away from the source. And you're going, well, I'm not too bad. I'm only doing two of the nine or whatever. But you know, it's an issue in our lives. These cultural trends to produce these things that I've described are the exact opposite of the qualities listed in God's Word in Galatians that I just read. So I call on all of us today to heed the call to come to Christ, to be in Christ, to live in Christ, and to remain in Christ. Keep repeating the things that we did in that season of nearness, of closeness. Keep repeating those love-driven things. I was thinking about that phrase, and I went to Revelation again, chapter 2, and it says, this complaint I have, and in verse 5 it says, here's what we need to do. We need to take inventory. We need to consider. We need to think deeply about it. We need to see how far we've fallen, and we need to turn back to me, he says, and do the things, do the works you did at first. That's how we stay close. Are you doing the things you did at first? Do you remember experiencing anybody in the room, young love? I mean, that's all you could think about. I mean, it totally captivated you. I mean, you were totally captivated by that. And a lot of times that's how it is when we first meet Jesus and fall in love with him. But over time, that love can wane and weaken. So again, I'm asking you to think deeply as we move through this lesson today. So the Word is telling us, stay connected at all costs. Stay close at all costs. There are different groups today for sure. Some need to come into a relationship with Jesus. You know a lot of things in your head, but you've not taken actions. You're not loving in action and truth. You know things, and you need to say yes to a relationship with Jesus, and that involves confession, repentance, and turning. That's a place to start. Some of you are in relationship. You've said yes, and you're going palms up in surrender. But you need to continue and deepen that relationship today. I think we all fall in one of these. And others need to come back to that close relationship because we've drifted. Because you and I know this about relationships. They're only as good as they are in the active present. And that's true this way, it's true this way, but it's true that way as well. Staying connected to Jesus is not automatic. remaining in Him, repeating those God things in our lives. That's living in that state, as I mentioned, of constant and unconditional surrender on our part. We talk about Jesus as Savior, as Lord. I'm going to tell you, He's not Lord unless He's Lord of everything in our lives. There's no compartmentalization allowed. Anything that you freeze Him out of, that we leave Him out of, that's going to be the place where the enemy has the right to grab hold of us and take us under. It's a state of being, living in constant surrender. Is that what typifies your life today? It's not automatic. The words in John 15 ring true. Here's the word. Remain in me, Jesus speaking. And I've got a guarantee for you, He says. When you remain in me, I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Unless you keep repeating those things that bring you near. Verse 5, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. And I'll touch on this later, but it concludes these with these somber words. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Oh, you can do something, but you can do nothing that has eternal value. Apart from me. Clearly, Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. And as this connection remains intact and solid and grounded, He will produce those fruits in and through our lives. And that's the good news. But the bad news and reality check in this passage is this, as I mentioned, apart from Him, we can do nothing. This is not about self-help. It's not about producing the fruit of the Spirit by our own good efforts, no. It's about freeing those things to be and to do because Christ is in us. Those things are within us. It's about releasing those things that are in us because He is in us. If you haven't heard, we're building a new home. We're homeless. We're in that proverbial basement where I always talked about my mother-in-law being locked away. That's us now. But I must say, instead of throwing scraps down, we still throw scraps up to the main floor. But we purchased a lot in the same subdivision, and we'll be hosting again, not there, but at our former home, Sunday Funday in a couple Sundays. But to make that lot, it's a beautiful lot, but it kind of tapers and falls away rapidly. I think there may be like 10-foot drop from the road on down, and there's a lot of trees. I counted 30-some trees that we still have on the property, but there was one tree in particular that was right in the middle of the home, and we decided not to build around it. The tree had to go. And so they took a dozer and they pushed it over, and I could not believe. I mean, this wasn't a huge tree, but it wasn't a small tree either. I mean, it had some height, some girth to it. I could not believe how soon the leaves began to wither and die. It's almost like before your very eyes. I mean, not when I stood there and watched it, but as the days went by, gradually those branches became dry and brittle. It happened quickly, but here's the problem. It happened gradually. And I'm so thankful that my tree man, Travis, came and took that tree away. So thankful for that. Do you see the illustration? That's a lot like us because the tree ball and all was pushed over and it lost its connection to the source in the soil. But the key is that I think, yeah, okay, we saw it go down, but it happened quickly, but it happened gradually. And the things I'm describing today happen so gradually that sometimes we don't even notice it. We're not aware of it. And so this is the wake-up call to stay connected. Remain connected, the Bible's saying, to the source, capital S, the one, capital O, who produces spiritual fruitfulness in and through our lives. Now, if you read the book of John, you know that the main theme is love. It's hammered over and over again. Another dominant theme in that book is remaining in the one we know and love who saved us by His grace. This word is used repeatedly over and over. Remain, remain. That's what we repeat, remain, remain. It means to stay, to abide, to dwell in Christ. In other words, that becomes our permanent address. I put down our permanent active address. Because we don't land there and just quit. We press in. Active, permanent address. I read the story of a mother who was trying to teach her children. She's a homeschooling mother, I believe. And She was trying to teach her children, young children, a couple of them, the principle of this living by the Spirit, living in the Spirit. That's hard for us as adults to grasp sometimes, and let alone for little children. But she was trying, and they weren't getting it. They were having trouble. Their brows were furrowed, and she said, well, let's put it this way. If there's a little toddler, even smaller than you, who does this child need to stay close to be cared for and protected? And this one little ornery boy, he thought about it a moment, and he piped up and said, that child needs to be by the mama. Mama said, well, what happens if this small child gets away and leaves mama and plays in the street? And they responded, that child could get run over. She drove home her point. See, if this child is to have the good things of life and the protection and care, this child needs to stay close. Who does this child need to live by? And the children begin to chant again, live by the mama, live by the mama. And they started this parade and dance all around the house. Live by the mama, live by the mama. They got it. Because that's the safest place for us to live. To live by, to live in the Spirit. To stay close. It's intentional. They got it. Those kids got it. Do we? Remain in Christ. John 10:10b still says, I have come not to make you miserable. That's the enemy who wants to come kill, steal, and destroy and mess everything up and produce these fruits of the flesh. But he said, I've come that you might have life, and I want you to have all of it to the full. How many know that's still true? In this year that we're living, he wants us to have full life. How many know that's appealing and attractive to people that are watching us? It points to him and praises him from whom all blessings flow. That's a promise we can bank on, this scripture, in all kinds of weather, every season, every circumstance of life. As you remain in him, your life will not just once upon a time, but in season and out of season, will produce spiritual fruit. And you know what all those spiritual fruitfulness things are? That means influence that we have in this world. I want them, don't you? So, two things I want to leave you with. The spiritual fruit that he wants to do in us. I'll read again 15:5a. Yes, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them, that's the key, will produce, not should, not might, will produce much fruit. What a list that is. That list of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Which one do you want to throw out? Which ones? They're all keepers, are they not? Those are all things that are needed in our lives. If you are here today, and whatever role you are in, if you desire to be a better, more fruitful child or spouse, employee, student, or leader, or whatever, again, your role may be, keep getting better spiritually. Stay connected to the source of all these things. They're in you in Christ, but he wants them to flow out of you. He wants them to overflow as we represent him in this very dark world. They're good. They're attractive. The scripture says again, there's no law against such things as these. I want to land on this again. I alluded to it, but I'm not sure that even that we need to pray for the fruit of the Spirit to be in our lives, because they're already there, because Christ is in our hearts if we're in relation to him. Nod your head if you're with me. If we're in Christ and he's in us, then those fruits are in us, but we need to lean into them. And that's why we live in unconditional surrender, because I say often that when he has you, he has the whatever you're struggling with. I mean, you have that wellspring, that unlimited source within you to produce this fruitfulness irregardless of the weather. Will you let it go? Will you let it flow? Not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In other words, I had an uncle, Bryce. He was a superintendent of schools in Northeast Indiana, created a district out of nothing, a school district, years and years ago. And he just had his fingers in all kinds of things. And he had all kinds of orchards and things on his property. And he just produced the best fruit ever. And, you know, it's like when he planted an apple tree, I didn't see those apple trees straining and groaning. They just produced naturally what they were meant to be. So I'm not suggesting today that you and I produce. It doesn't say that you and I just, we need to groan and mutter and we need to produce these things on our own. No, the Spirit wants to produce them and unleash them in and through our lives. Because my Uncle Bryce knew that whatever he planted would grow because the fruit comes from the source. So is it flesh or is it spirit? I'm not suggesting today for a second this I don't need help attitude, I can do it by myself. These aren't produced by in the natural, but I believe these fruits have been planted within us through a supernatural connection. It's Holy Spirit help, if you will. The Spirit will bear fruit through our lives, these things and more, as we keep the connection going. I could give, when I wrote this next section, I was thinking of people in all the years that I've grown up in the church that I remember. But in these 45 years of full-time vocational ministry, it's been heartbreaking, listen to me, repeatedly, to see wonderful, wonderful people who were once so connected to the source begin to pull away gradually and wither. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen that. I see it now as your pastor. I saw it as a preacher's kid growing up. It's tragic. And as I reflected on this, I realized that many times these people, they knew and they enjoyed the blessings of God, and they were so caught up with the blessings that they almost forgot about Him and began to compromise the disciplines and habits and even the Holy Spirit given convictions in their lives. Convictions are not man-made. How do you know they're Holy Spirit given? The casualties and consequences over time gradually have been devastating. I think that is the most discouraging thing for pastors. And I read a statistic just this week, and I've told you that only 10 out of 100 make it from start to retirement. I just read something this week that hit my mailbox that said, now stats are saying that there's a huge percentage that won't make it the first 5 years. Pastors. And one of the most discouraging things to a pastor is because of seeing people drift and get complacent. It all begins when God is practically removed from first place in lives and relationships. And you know what I've seen from my vantage point now? I've seen that it has led in the extreme to the actual abandonment of faith in Jesus Christ. They drifted slowly, violating the first of the commandments in Exodus 23. And you know my favorite paraphrase is this: no other gods, only me. There's only one God, capital G-O-D, but a lot of times we have small G-O-Ds in our life, and that's what causes us to drift. That's what dries up the fruit. That's what inhibits the fruit production in our lives. No other gods, only me. I don't know how to make that any clearer. I was reminded when I was writing that paragraph, that example of Mark 4, 18 and 19, it says that the parable of seeds, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out. You got that? Just crowded out by the worries of this life, by the lure of wealth and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. But again, here's the danger. It doesn't happen instantly. It happens over time. It happens gradually. And many times we're not even aware of it. So could you ask yourself deep in your heart, where am I compared to where I used to be? Where I once was? Dear ones, that includes all of you within the sound of my voice today, now, or later. I deeply care about you. And I would say that you have no idea how far you'll drift and where you'll end up if you disconnect from the source. Hear me again. Spiritual fruit will only be produced in your life as you stay connected to the source. There is no other way. Period. Spiritual fruit, for sure, we want it. Finally, he wants to give us, through his presence in our lives, spiritual power. He's the power source. He's the one. John 15:7. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Wow, don't we love that verse? When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. When you produce much fruit, fruitfulness, how, like love, joy, peace, all those things, that brings the Father's heart great joy. I'm aware that many take this passage out of context and they believe that God owes them, that God needs to do exactly what they want him to do when they want him to do it. And if God doesn't, then they think it's cool to doubt God because he didn't answer my prayer the way I thought he should. That's not what this is talking about. This attitude absolutely never reflects the fruit of the Spirit in our life. That's the fruit of flesh. No, those are flesh-led, selfish prayers, because when you're connected to the source and his almighty Spirit, listen, his heart becomes your heart. His desires become your desires. His will becomes your will. No matter what the season, no matter what the level of your understanding may be, because you know that he wants what's best. Somebody text me this: faith is the conviction God will do what is right, not just what we want. Is anybody glad about that besides me? I've asked amiss before. How about you? Faith is the conviction God will do what is right, or just do right. To know him, to draw ever close to him, to have the fruit produced, released in our lives, is to know his will. Our prayers begin to align with his will because we want what he wants. We don't want our way, we want his way. You got it? Little children, immature babies, they want what they want. Mine, mine, our. You know, no, we want what God wants. That's the difference maker in our life. That's what gets us out of the ditch. That's what brings us back to that intimate relationship. Our hearts are aligned. God, I'm going to pray according to your will because it's my greatest joy to bring you pleasure, to worship you. Spiritual power is available. Jesus said, what did he say? I didn't look up the verse, but I just was thinking this morning. Jesus said, you'll receive power what? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and because of that, you will be my what? My witnesses. And it's not just verbal, hey, preaching on the street. I mean, your life will light up, and you will reflect him everywhere you go because the fruit of the Spirit coming out of our lives, blooming, it attracts attention because it even blooms in the barren land. I got to tell you, I'm so glad for the rainy days we've had and we're having. I don't know about you, but my yard, no matter what we put in it or on it, weeds tend to grow best. And they grow best when it's drier. That's about the only thing that does grow, weeds, huh? Yeah. He wants us to have spiritual power, to be in alignment with him. I am confident of this today as your pastor, and I'll be your pastor, whether I am or not, I will be for this day and online as well. When we pray his will, when we're in alignment, I promise you, he will come through. He will deliver, and our faith grows, and our God connections strengthen. The power is there. How do we know? Matthew 6:10 says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How do we know Jesus is okay with that prayer? Can you pray that right where you are? Is that an all-season prayer or what? Yeah, your kingdom come, your will be done, right now, not just out there, but in me. Do what you want to do in and through me. Luke 22:42, Jesus said, Father, in the garden, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. How do you know that's a breakthrough prayer? That's a breakthrough attitude. That's wanting the things that God wants. That's when things begin to break loose in your life, when you truly from the depths of your heart and being want to please him. in everything, nothing left out. Authority comes from Him. He's got all power. Know Him. Know His will. It's not just a catchphrase, but with God, all things are possible. It's true as we stay connected to the source, because without Him, our lives will have no permanent eternal value. Without Him, we can do nothing. As I wrap up, could I just remind you of some simple things to keep repeating? Maybe you're doing them all now, or maybe you're doing one or two, but remember when you were, and remember what that produced, the fruit that was released through your life. Oh, I land on this all the time, but I say it again, God's Word. Keep getting God's Word in you, in you, in you, in you. I'm not telling you to get in God's Word. I'm telling you to get His Word in you. You let it interpret your life. Never stop. There's absolutely no substitute for it, and there's absolutely no excuse for not doing it, because we have resources galore, do we not? If you're not connected to God's Word, you're not going to have the fruit of the Spirit being produced in your life to the level that God wants to. Fellowship is still so important. I still believe that something supernatural happens. I'm thankful for online. People join us there. And for people that can't be here on vacation or far places, it doesn't. That's all good. But something supernatural happens when believers and followers of Jesus come together. How many of you know that's true? I've often called this the gathering of Jesus, and it's life-giving and it's vital. These gatherings, large and small, help us stay connected and remain strong. Because the old saying is still true. The engineer that said something like this, error increases with distance. So consistent presence showing up with God and His people, they're difference makers. Keep showing up. Worship. These are some repeatable action steps to release that fruit that's within you. Become continual praisers. We talked about that on Labor Day weekend. I've read before, but I come back to Eugene Peterson's definition, I love it, of worship in Leaf Over the Wall. And here's what he wrote. This pastor, he said, worship is the strategy by which we interrupt our preoccupation with ourselves and attend to the presence of God. Isn't that good? I wish I would have written that. Worship is the time and place we assign for deliberate attendance to God. Like right now, prayer. The Bible instructs us to remain continually instant in prayer. Romans 12:2 says, pray at all times. 1 Corinthians 5:17 tells us to pray without ceasing. This sounds to me like breath prayers, intercession prayers. It sounds to me like pray now moments. Be aware of God's presence all the time and just keep that conversation string going. It's like a continual text for some of you, you know. I erase all mine, but it's just like some of you. Look, they're about 2 miles long. Keep that text string going. Keep that line open. Another way, I think, to appreciate the goodness and greatness of God, and it's an act of worship, but I'll call it out, is in creation. Appreciate and enjoy all that God has created. Allow it to cause you to point and praise, to point and praise. To Him be the glory. This will saturate, stimulate your God consciousness on any given day. So I want to tell you, along the way, keep remaining amazed at God, His creative power and genius, at Holy Spirit creativity. And finally, and there's more, but service. We've been saved to serve, not saved to sit. We're here to serve God and people. I see Franklin Graham, like you do, from time to time, especially when hurricanes or natural disasters arise, and he's on commercials advertising Samaritan's Purse, and what he says at the end nearly every time, if I got it right, something like this: serve people in Jesus' name. That's really good. I love it. It's more than a catchphrase, because if we serve people in Jesus' name, that means we're trying our best. We're doing our best to represent Jesus in the way we serve, in the attitude we serve with, right? Not condescending. I love that. Keep serving. Some of you play hide and seek. You've been in other places. You've come to this place over the years, and our jaws would drop to know the level of degree that you've served in time and places. But you were burned out. Maybe you were in a conflict, and it was harsh, or something happened in your life, and you pulled away, and you landed here, and you thought, "Man, for 6 weeks I'm going to hide." But the problem is, it's 6 years, and you're still not serving. It's time to pick up the towel. and say, God wants me to serve. Not necessarily what I did back then, but right now, God, until I draw my first breath in heaven, I'm not done serving you or your people. Agreed? Just a challenge. There's more, but I'll end it this way. Culture tells us we don't have time to do these important things that I've just mentioned and more. But I think we're too busy not to do them, huh? Did you hear that? We're too busy not to do these spiritual disciplines to allow this fruit to be released through our lives. It's in us if we're in Christ. Could I just caution you today? I mean, right now. We're talking relationship right now, not what it was or what it will be, but right now. Oh, be careful not to exchange the eternal for things temporal. Be careful about focusing all your energy and time on things that aren't going to matter for eternity. Because if we do, we'll come out on the short end. Why? Because apart from Him, the source, we can do nothing. Remain in me. Apart from the source, we can do nothing that will have lasting spiritual value, influence, and impact. Stay connected. See the spiritual fruit production in your lives and receive power. Be bold. As we wrap up today, where are you? Are you still connected like you once were? Have you ever been? Do you need to renew that connection? If you are slightly or more so disconnected, why? What's happened? Can the Holy Spirit, I'm not asking you to think it up. Ask the Holy Spirit palms up to show you. And then finally, would you make this your prayer in these closing moments? Father, what steps do I need to take today to reconnect, to remain grounded in you? Hey, some of you have been hanging around this or other churches for years and years. Listen. You've raised your kids. You've influenced your grandkids. Look at me. Your influence is just as powerful now and needed as it ever was in your life. Don't quit doing the things that you told them were truth. Keep walking in actions and truth. It's so disillusioning to see the ones that have blazed a trail to be faltering along the way and going into the ditch. Don't do it. Stay white hot. And let the fruit of the Spirit be released. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand if you can, if you care to. We're going to sing and we're going to pray as we conclude. Our altars and stairs are always open for prayer. Would you just do some business with the Lord right now? Again, this isn't to un-Christianize you or whatever. It's just an honest evaluation. Lord, where I am? Where am I? Some of you need to make the connection for the first time. Some of you need to go deeper. Some of you need to come back to where you once were so He can take you beyond that point. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to speak through your word. We welcome your word to our hearts and lives.